Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Amen. Everybody said, "This gospel of the kingdom." This gospel of the kingdom. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, and we're going to read down through verse 9 tonight. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So when they left the gospel, not only did they leave the gospel, they left him. Verse 7, "Which is not another, nor is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Very strong statements here in the Word of God concerning this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is a glorious gospel. Amen. And I hope that all of you will back up the pastor here tonight. I'm not going to preach a long time, but I want to preach about this gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom. We can never get away from it. We can't get away from the simplicity that is in Christ and the simplicity of the gospel. If we do, we're leaving him. And so we don't want to leave him, so we're going to stay close to the message that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth tonight. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts and touch us tonight. We give you honor. We give you praise and thanks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to start off with this here tonight. So if you will turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to look at verse 1 through 4. And this is also a reference. Actually going to read a little bit further down than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." So first it has to be preached, then it has to be received, and then we have to stand in it, "by which also you are saved." So salvation comes through that. "If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." Everybody said he died according to the scriptures, "and that he was buried." Everybody said he was buried. He was buried, "and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Everybody said he rose again. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen. If there was ever a message that the church should preach, it is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this message is the only hope. It is the only salvation for the world today. There is only one way. There are not many ways to God. There is only one way, and that is the way that God has chosen for us. We cannot pervert or change the gospel, but we must embrace it, we must receive it, and we must live by it, praise God, and accept it in our lives. And when we do, there will be miracles that take place. Amen. When we do, there will be resurrections that take place. Amen. Supernatural rising up again that takes place through the gospel. And in fact, salvation from sins and healing goes hand in hand together in the Word of God. I want to see a revival. Praise the Lord. And there's only one way to have a revival, and that's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we first came to Augusta, there was only one man in the church, And I preached the very first message here, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I declared to the spirits of hell that we were going to have a church here in Augusta. And God has backed us up. Amen. There are many that are not here tonight, but we're not discouraged. Amen. Because we know the truth, and the truth has made us free. If it's just two or three, we're going to worship God. Amen. If it's only two or three, we're going to live for God. Amen. Because of this powerful message. Amen. This message is the seed, amen, that the sower sowed, amen, that brought forth a harvest. The seed is the Word of God, and in the Word of God we find the gospel. Amen. And many today, if you were to ask them, what is the gospel? Many would not even be able to tell you. And I would say that for many who are church attenders, amen, of any denomination, and probably, well, I won't go all that way, but many, 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 if you are to ask them, what is the gospel and where is it found in the Word of God, they will draw a blank and don't even know how to answer that question. Amen. We've got a tremendous opportunity today, folks, amen, to minister the gospel to many people and to show them the Word of God and what God has for us. Amen. And this is something that we have been concerned about, and we have talked to those that are teaching the young people, Brother and Sister Reed, and I've talked to Brother Fred about it as well, and I'm very concerned that our young people not grow up and not know what we believe. Amen. And not understand the scriptures and understand the Word of God. It's not enough just to come to church. I say that all the time, but it is so true. Amen. You're not going to get it only from the pastor. You're not going to get it only from your mom and dad. Amen. But you've got to get into the Word of God for yourself. And it's got to be more than just a head knowledge. It's got to get down into your heart. Amen. So that it actually changes your life. You can't just throw the seed on the top of the ground. You got to bury it in the ground. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It abideth alone. Amen. So the seed has got to be planted inside of our heart so that we can live for God. Amen. And I am concerned about this. Amen. It's also very important that we strengthen the message and understand it ourselves. Amen. And this basic gospel was taught by the apostles. I want to read a couple of scriptures here. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. And this may seem a little bit more like teaching. And if it does, that's all right. Because I really feel like we need to talk about the gospel tonight. Luke 24 and verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Amen. He's speaking to the apostles. And when we talk about being apostolic, that's simply what we're talking about. To be apostolic means that we conform to the teaching of the New Testament apostles. We're going to look at the message that Jesus gave them, and then we're going to look at the actual historical things that's recorded in the book of Acts. Amen. But here he's speaking to them, and he is giving them this understanding of the gospel. He said it is repentance and remission of sins. Praise God. There is only one way that we can be saved, and that is through repentance and remission of sins. We've got to get rid of our sins first. Amen. We've got to be cleansed from the past, from the sins of the past. And there's only one way, and that is through repentance, and that is humbling ourselves before God, turning away from sin, and then remission of sins is the cleansing or blotting out or washing away of our sins. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Turn with me tonight. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so here again we have the Lord speaking to the 11 apostles. And tonight we believe that the apostles embraced the message that Jesus gave them. They did not deviate from it. They did not do or change it, rather. They didn't add to it. They didn't take away from it. And so what we can do tonight is understand what Jesus gave to them. He said, Go into all the world, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so what we have in the Gospels here, from Romans all the way to Revelation, what we have in the Gospels is the Word of God, amen, to give us all of the commandments of God in this New Testament. But not only that, he said, go ye therefore into all the world, amen, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's not what I wanted. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Amen. And so what are we going to teach them? We are going to teach them the Old Testament. We're going to teach them the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles in the New Testament. That's why the Bible says that we are founded upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And so we take the old, which is the schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. Amen. And think about it tonight. The apostles and even Jesus himself did not have a New Testament that they preached from. They preached from the Old Testament. Because it is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It is the professor. Amen. It is the word that gives us an understanding of what the new is all about. The old is an example of the new. The old is a representation or a symbol or a figure or a shadow, as the scripture says. But in the New Testament, we receive the real thing. Amen. We receive the fulfillment. That's why in many places it says, and thus he did to fulfill all righteousness, or to fulfill the scripture. He fulfilled it here and he fulfilled it there. Amen. It was there to be fulfilled. It was prophetic in nature and it spoke of one that was coming. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we cannot be saved if we don't believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Word of God. From Genesis to maps, it's all about Jesus. Amen. It is the book of Jesus. Amen. From the beginning to the end. That's why he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. I'm thankful today for a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not just that he is the Son of God, but that he is the Son of Man as well. He is God manifest or robed in flesh that came down to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, thank God for that message and that truth tonight. Praise the Lord. That's a big part of the gospel. And he told them to go and to teach all nations and then to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Also, if we want to go to Mark chapter 16, I don't have this in my notes here, but let's look at it anyway. Mark chapter 16, and let's go down to verse 15. Actually, verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he talked about the signs that would follow the believers. Amen. And this was not just the believers until the very first Bible was printed. Amen. This goes all the way to our day today. Amen. Some of our folks have been involved in Bible study, and some of the ones are teach in their church that when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And they say that there is no more speaking in tongues. They say there is no more healing. There is no more gifts of the Spirit, because that which is perfect has come. I'm telling you, that's not scripturally correct tonight. Because it is for you, for your children, for them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, praise the Lord. It's for you tonight. Amen. This gospel is for us today in this generation. Amen. And this is why we call it the apostolic message, because it was first delivered to the apostles of Jesus Christ, and then they began to preach it and to teach it, and then eventually they wrote it down. Thank God they wrote it down, and we have it today in the Word of God. One more place in John chapter 3, and this is where Jesus talked about being born again. And in reality, if we can just meditate on that for a moment here tonight, this thing of being born again actually means that. It means that we are born a second time. The first time we are born in the flesh. The second time we are born into the kingdom of God, into the realm of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And how does that happen? Nicodemus asked him, how can this happen? And in verse 5, John 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, there's water baptism, and of the Spirit, there is the Spirit baptism, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And I could go on through that, but I need to move on here tonight. The apostles understood the power of the gospel. They understood the anointing that was upon them, and they came to a knowledge of their apostleship. At first, they did not know who they really were in God. They doubted. He had to upbraid them for their unbelief, as we've already read. And yet, they came to a place where when they put it to practice and it began to work, just exactly as the Lord told them, they began to understand their apostleship and the importance of their position that the Lord had given to them. Especially here, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 John 4 and verse 6. This gives us an understanding of the importance of this message tonight. Praise God. And this is the same John that received revelation and wrote it down in the book of Revelation, and talked about the names of the apostles that was in the New Jerusalem. Here were common fishermen, common men who had a tremendous destiny ahead of them, a tremendous future ahead of them, because they were the ones that God chose to receive this message. And so they carried it on from them until now. 1 John 4 and verse 6, he said, we are of God. Amen. Now, folks, we've got to get to a place where we understand that. Well, praise God. We're not going to say, I hope we are of God. But if we line up with the apostles' teachings, if we line up with the teachings of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you today, we can say we are of God. And that's not a haughty situation. It does not, should not be a haughty situation, because it certainly was not for them. But he had more confidence than we even would have, because they saw the miracles that he did. They walked with him. They went with him. They traveled with him. They handled him. They saw him crucified. And then they saw him after the resurrection. It was such a tremendous life-changing experience for these men that they literally set their world on fire. It was a experience of a lifetime. Amen. In one way, I wished I was in that time period and would be able to see what they saw and to go where they went and all of that. I've been to the Holy Land. If you ever get an opportunity to go, I would suggest that you go before Armageddon take place. Well, praise the Lord. And it really is life-changing to walk the streets that he walked. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Well, praise God. Amen. He that knows God will hear us. And so what John was literally saying is we have the only message. Just like Noah said, I've got the only ark that anybody's going to be saved in. Amen. This is not haughty tonight, and we're not using this as a tool to put other people down. I hope you understand that. We're not doing that, but we are looking at the importance and this message of the gospel. Praise God. It doesn't matter what Calvin said. It doesn't matter what Luther says. It doesn't matter what any group of men that came along in history says. What does the Word of God say? Well, praise the Lord. This trumps everything. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. Amen. This goes above and beyond everything. It is the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what anyone says. And when I teach my Bible studies, I tell them, don't believe it just because I'm the one telling you that this is the way it is. You need to get into the book for yourself and read it for yourself and see it for yourself. I believe that tonight. I really do. Amen. And he says, he that is of God, amen. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Praise the Lord. That's very serious tonight. That's a very serious matter. If we don't follow the teachings of the Lord, then we don't belong to the Lord. Amen. If we don't hear the message of the apostles, then we are not of God. It's that serious. It's that serious. Amen. And so then he says, hereby, or this is the way, that we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. There is a way to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and that is to go back to the teachings of the New Testament apostles. Praise God, because they were given it by Jesus Christ. And so since this is true, then we can go to the message and find what we need for us today. Amen. Of course, I read John 3 and verse 5. It started with Jesus. Jesus began to preach the gospel. And the Bible says there in John 3, 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you are not in the kingdom of God. That's how important it is. That's how exciting it is. Amen. Because now we have a door to go through. Now we have an understanding, at least a little bit of an understanding here, of how to enter into the kingdom of God. Is there anyone here tonight that really wants to enter into the kingdom of God? I want to enter into the kingdom here on this earth and for eternity in heaven. Praise God. And there's only one way to enter. It is the entrance into the kingdom of God. It's not the beginning of your relationship with God. It is the beginning of your relationship with God. It is not full maturity. It is being born again and starting out as a spiritual child and growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But thank God for a door. And tonight the door is open. Praise God. The door is open for anyone whosoever wants to be saved can be saved. There's not a demon in hell. There's not a person on this earth that can stop you. If you want to live for God, the door is open. The door is wide open. And the Bible says, if I open a door, no man can shut the door. And if I shut the door, no man can open the door. But tonight the door is open, praise God. I said the door is open. The door is open for a beautiful future in your life. Amen. The door is open for great things to happen. Amen. You say, why hasn't it happened? Because you've just gone through the door. You're not all the way in there where you need to be. Praise God. Or where God wants to lead you. Maybe that was a better way to say that. Amen. Because we are where we need to be. Praise God. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in the church. Praise the Lord. We've got the Holy Ghost, been baptized in His name. All right, so let's look at this here a little bit tonight. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. This is such an awesome message. I think it is glossed over so many times that it has just become a cliche, that it's just become a message that is not that important. But Jesus came, amen, and he died. Oh, praise God. I'm not going to take the time tonight, but just to understand that God robed himself in flesh and humbled himself unto the death of the cross is the most awesome message that anybody could ever deliver to anybody on this earth at any time, anywhere, any place. Amen. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Let's turn there tonight. And I'm going to use a number of scriptures, so just stay with me. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. This is a very beautiful example of what Jesus did. He showed to us the power of death. Amen. The power of death. In order for us to get away from the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of flesh, this flesh has got to die. Praise the Lord. In a very real sense, when we die physically and we are buried in the ground, we have effectively left the kingdom of flesh. Amen. We've left the kingdom of flesh, and now we have stepped over into eternity, which is the realm of spirit. Amen. The spiritual realm of existence. But we're not talking about that kind of death tonight. We're talking about a death to self, a death to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Turn with me tonight. Romans 6 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get there. You all there? Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And so, we're not talking about a literal death tonight, but we are talking about repentance. Amen. That the old man is crucified with him. This is a beautiful scriptural definition of the word repentance. Amen. That the old man is crucified with him. I thank God that he came and robed himself in flesh and went to the cross. Amen. It's a beautiful story. It's a life-changing message. But in order for us to afford that to ourselves, we must die with him. We must be crucified with him. And notice in Romans here, it's always with him. And so we are dying with him. Thank God we don't have to go to the cross. He did that. But there's a place and a time where we must look at our life and say, God, I give my whole life to you. God, I'm not holding anything back. I'm not putting something over in the corner here for a rainy day. Amen. I don't have a plan B. Praise God. I'm giving my life to God, and I'm pouring everything into the kingdom of God. That is a death to self. Amen. It is a death to our old way, our sinful way. Amen. And even a death to our future. And we put our future into the hands of God. And we put our past into the hands of God. Amen. One minister was praying, and the Lord spoke to him. And spoke to him about going overseas to be a missionary. I forget the name, but I remember the story as it was told. The Lord spoke to his wife and said, Lord, if we're going to do this, you've got to speak to my wife. And so he just prayed about it, and God began to speak to his wife. And the Lord spoke to her and said, sell everything that you have. Have a yard sale and sell everything that you have. And she thought, my goodness, why would God do that? Am I going to die? Is there going to be a tragic accident? Is a tornado going to take our house away? And the Lord is warning us ahead of time. And so she fought against it and fought against it. And finally, she came to the place of surrender. That's really what repentance is. Even though what I'm talking about is not repentance, but it was a finally giving in to the will of God. Amen. And so she came to her husband and said, I don't know why I've been battling this for a long time, but I feel like the Lord wants us to sell everything we have. And he said, there's a reason why, is because God has been speaking to me about going to a foreign field, and I was asking God to speak to you first. And so they did, and they went to the foreign fields as missionaries. God doesn't do that with everybody, but I'll tell you what he does do with everyone. He wants us to turn away from the old ways. Amen. He wants us to turn away from the life of sin and the way that is not pleasing to God, and repent and die out to ourselves. In fact, Matthew 14 and verse 7, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Can I say it that way tonight? It is time to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is nothing more important than being saved. There's nothing in my life that God would ask of me that is more important than my eternal salvation and doing the will of God. Amen. But we're living in a generation today that is self-absorbed, a generation that is caught up in entertainment and sports. Amen. A generation that does not know God and is going to perversion after perversion after perversion. And the reason is because we're living in the flesh. But if we want the joy and the peace and the righteousness that comes by living for God, we must repent. Amen. We must give it all to God. We can't hold anything back. Come on, somebody help me tonight. You cannot hold anything back from God. You've got to be able to say, Lord, do whatever you want to do in my life, and I'll be happy to follow you. Repent. We die with him. And then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, let's look at that. We understand what happens after death. There must be a burial. Romans 6 and 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I know this is very basic and very simple, but there is no possibility of a resurrection until there is a death and a burial. Praise God. There's going to be a resurrection day. There's going to be a time when the Lord comes and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. What a wonderful time we're going to have. Amen. And then there's another scripture says that death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And the sea and everything that was in it was brought back. There's going to be a resurrection of the righteous and there's going to be a resurrection of the wicked. Amen. There's going to be a rising again of every single person that's ever lived on the face of the earth. You might try to cover it up with activities, might try to cover it up with all sorts of things, but the truth of the matter is there's going to be a resurrection. And the Bible says that some men's sins follow after them and some men's sins go before them. I'll tell you, I want my sins to go before me to Calvary and get it taken care of right now. Amen. Because if I don't, they're going to follow me all the way to the judgment seat of Christ. And I will have to give an account and be lost for eternity. Well, praise the Lord. And so there's no way that there can be a resurrection ahead of time. Amen. Unless I die and I am buried. And the Bible says here that we are buried with Him by baptism. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. And so we die in repentance and then we are buried with Him in baptism. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And so what we see here tonight is we must die and be buried, and then we can rise again. Scripture says that if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead be in you, that same Spirit shall also quicken your mortal bodies. There is no way, amen, without having God's Spirit inside of us. And so we die in repentance, and then we are buried with Him in baptism. But thank God it doesn't stop there. A lot of places just talk about accepting the Lord as your personal Savior. To me, if that's done in sincerity, it is repentance. But there is so much more to living for God than just dying. Amen. There's more to it than just the death. I'm not going to stay dead, and I'm not going to stay in the grave. But the joy of true Christianity is a resurrection where we come out of there. Praise God. We leave our sins behind. Amen. They're buried in the waters of baptism, never to be brought up again. Praise God. So I'm getting a fresh start. I'm getting a brand new start. I'm starting over again. Praise God. Because of what Jesus did when He died and when He was buried. And so then there is a resurrection. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Praise God. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so that's why Jesus said in John 3:5, we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. When we are born of the water, and a scripture that we read tonight in starting, and it says there that the gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. And Luke 24, he said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. What is his name? Jesus. It should be preached in the name of Jesus among all nations. And so Jesus said, there's got to be repentance and remission of sins. Well, where does remission of sins come from? Amen. It comes when we die and we're buried. It's erased. It's covered up. It's no longer visible. It no longer is with us. Oh, thank God. Those old sins are buried. Amen. They're covered over. They're no longer with us anymore. Praise God. Well, I just need to see some real examples. I'm glad you asked. Amen. Because in Acts chapter 2, the New Testament church was started. Let's turn there tonight. Because it's not just a matter of saying, well, this is what we believe theologically. What exactly happened? And who did it happen to? Amen. And do we fit into this grand scheme of things? Chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, that would be the 12 disciples, that would be all, there's about 120, the mother of Jesus was there. Amen. She needed to be born again as well. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Amen. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And they were speaking in languages that they did not know. They knew they did not know these languages because they were Galileans. They were from the Galilean area, the Sea of Galilee. And much of your scripture is written around the Sea of Galilee situation there. And they knew they did not speak these other languages. How are they able to do this? And it names all the languages. And then some begin to make fun, and they said, these men are full of new wine. Wonder what they were doing that made somebody who had never seen this before say, these folks are having a drunken party. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. Sometimes it seems like we're just having a good party around here. And it seems a little chaotic, but it's in perfect order, actually. Praise God. And some are running, and some are crying, and some are smiling, and some are clapping, and some are praising God. And we're just generally having a good time in the presence of God. I felt him here tonight. I still feel him here tonight. Amen. And they were doing some things. That's something to think about there. And verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11. I want you to see that tonight. Peter standing with the 11. This is the same 11 that the Bible talks about that we already read tonight, that Jesus gave the final commands to, that he opened their understanding that they could understand the scriptures. And so Peter stood with the 11. Matthew was there, who wrote Matthew 28 and verse 19, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was standing there. John was standing there, who wrote the book of Revelation, the book of John, 1st, 2nd John. And so they were all there. Peter began to preach to them, and as it always comes around with preaching, it comes around to this issue of sin. We don't hear that today. One mega pastor was asked, do you preach about sin? He said, we don't go there. We don't go there. And they don't talk about sin. But folks, the gospel is all about sin. It's all about us being lost without God. And we need a way to get to God. We need a vehicle to get us to God. And that's where the gospel comes in. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. And we're not ashamed of the gospel tonight, for it and it alone is the power of God unto salvation. And so when he began to preach to them, the Bible says that in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Pointed a finger at him, said, you're the ones that did it. The sin is on your hands. His blood is on your hands. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were condemned in their heart, or they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Everybody say that with me tonight. What shall I do? I'm so glad you asked me tonight. Because there is an answer, amen, in the Word of God. I'm not preaching from a theological book tonight. Amen. I did not get this message off of the internet. I did not get it out of another book. Amen. It's simply the Word of God. It's simply what is written in the pages of this good book. And Peter answered, or verse 38, then Peter said unto them, my, what I'm so excited about this. He said, repent. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. Where were they here? They were in Jerusalem. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we do not see here that Matthew stepped up and said, hold it, Peter. Jesus said it must be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He did not say that, and his silence spoke volumes. Amen. Because he was in total agreement with the Apostle Peter. Jesus said to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father is not a name, it is a title. Son is not a name, it is a title. Holy Ghost is not a name, it is a title. Amen. God became a Father. Amen. And we know who the Son is. And the Father of Jesus was the Holy Ghost. And there's one name that represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that is Jesus. You say, well, where's the scripture that says that Jesus and the Father are the same, are one and the same? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You can write it down and read it when you get home. Amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The Son would be the embodiment of the Father. The Holy Ghost conceived in Mary, and then when the child was born, the Holy Ghost, God Almighty, the presence of God in His fullness, amen, entered into that body. And that's why He could dispute the lawyers at age 12. Amen. That's why He could speak to the winds and the waves. That's why He could say, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee, and that He could also die on the cross. None of us here tonight believes that God can die. But Jesus died. He was God and He was man at the same time. 1 Timothy 3:16, that the mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in the flesh, or God was seen in the body of a man. Well, praise God. And so he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is verse 38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is death, there is burial, and there is resurrection right there in that scripture. We die with Him, we are buried with Him, and we rise to walk in a newness of life in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, does it play out in all the places? It does. And I'm not going to take the length of time that it'll take here, but let's just look at it quickly. Amen. Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And with one accord, the people gave heed unto him. This is Acts chapter 8. And he went down and preached for them, and preached Christ unto them. And verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who were, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only were they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had repented, they had been baptized, and then the apostles came and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And praise God, they did receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, let's see if it plays out here again. Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. It's a long story, but we're just going to make it a short story here tonight. But the whole chapter 10 deals with this situation of the Gentiles. And he comes to Cornelius's house, who is a Roman centurion or a Roman police officer. And it says, while Peter was yet speaking the words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He didn't suggest it. He didn't say it was a public confession of an inward faith, because there was no public here. It was in their house. Amen. And it was for the remission of sins, and that's why he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 19, let's look at one more, and then we'll finish here tonight. I love this gospel. It can never get old to us. Acts 19 and verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a good question. Amen. Ask some friends of yours that go to church. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. And they answered and said, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. We don't even know what you're talking about. Amen. And verse 3, he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? So see, even the Apostle Paul made an issue of baptism in the Spirit and baptism in water. Water and Spirit. Amen. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. All right. Here were people who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and had been baptized. That's good enough in our generation today, but that's not Bible salvation. John did not baptize. Amen. The New Testament baptism. His was a transitional baptism from Old Testament to New Testament. And in fact, baptism was not a new concept to the Jews. Many people would have a mitzvah in their house, very similar to what we have here. And it was for ritual cleansing. They were used to going and being baptized. Even in that place today, they have, it's not Christian, but it's Muslim. They have a place where you can sit down and wash your feet before you go into their temples. because it goes way back, amen, way back beyond their beliefs, back to the original. And so baptism was not a big deal here to these people. And so the Bible says in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. All right, so when they heard this, verse 5, they were rebaptized. Why? Because remission of sins only comes through baptism in the name of Jesus. You say, where's that at? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Well, praise God. And so when we look at the gospel that was given to the apostles and what they did with it, we find a consistency here that we can lean on and we can stand on. Amen. But in Romans 10 and 16, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Amen. Are you a believer tonight? Are you a believer tonight? If you're a believer, then you'll believe the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and that he rose again. And in order to accept the gospel, the Bible says obedience to the gospel. And experiencing the gospel, we stand in the gospel, we are saved by the gospel, amen. We are born again by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must die in repentance, we must be buried in baptism, and we must rise to walk in a newness of life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's why when Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage, amen, there had to be the death of the lamb. And when they were ejected from Egypt, the Bible says they passed through the cloud, which separated them from the Egyptians, and they passed through the sea. And the scripture says they were all baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the cloud. They had to go through the water in order to be completely delivered, because the Lord said, the Egyptians which you see this day, you shall see them again no more forever. You know why? Because when they are remitted, God remitted Egypt off of them when they went through the water, and the water buried them. Amen. When you go down in the water in baptism in Jesus' name, your sins are buried. They're buried. Praise God. Not a one of them has more power than the name of Jesus Christ, and he will deliver you from all of that. Praise God. That's why when God had to cleanse the earth in the very beginning, he called for a flood. And 1 Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, he says that 8 souls were saved, talking about Noah and his family. 8 souls were saved by water, whereunto the like figure even baptism doth also now save us. And so God had to cleanse the earth, and he did it with water and remitted the earth of the sin. Amen. And Noah and his family came down to a new earth. Praise God. That's why when God created the tabernacle in the Old Testament, that they had to approach the altar of sacrifice first. That was the place of death. The next place that they went was the laver of water where they washed. There had to be death and burial, and then beyond the veil was the power and presence of God. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Now saying, there's a new way, praise God, and anyone can enter into the presence of God. Can we stand together tonight? Praise the Lord. I've hit the highlights, amen. But if you'd like a Bible study about this, I'll be glad to do that. Praise God. And there's a lot more scriptures that I have not covered tonight that simply deal with baptism. If you have a Bible concordance, I would just suggest that you look up the word baptism or the word baptize or the word baptized in the scripture and see what it says about baptism. Amen. And then about the Holy Ghost and about repentance. Amen. I'm telling you, God has opened a door tonight. And I just felt so strongly impressed that I needed to teach this and to minister. I know this is a little different from Sunday night, and many times we have an altar service, but we've already had an altar service here in the service tonight. I think this is good for us. Amen. And we just need to stand again in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. A lot of folks had boats in Noah's day, but there was only one that was floating. Amen. A lot of folks had ideas in the days of Egypt and so forth. Amen. But the gospel's still being preached, and that Egyptian civilization has gone the way, amen, of so many, many others. There's only one thing that's going to stand, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you been baptized in His name? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? I don't say this to be condemning in any way, shape, or form tonight, but there's a wide door that's open. There's a wide door that's open. And I would just say, find a place of genuine repentance and pray and seek God. Look at the Word of God. Once you see it in the Word, amen, you don't have to pray about it anymore because you know it's the will of God. Just jump in. Praise God. Jump in. Somebody said with all 4 feet. Praise God. Just jump right on in. Amen. I've seen down in Branson, they had all of those dogs that they had trained. They had rescued those dogs and they trained them. And one of the things they did was they had to see who could jump the farthest. And they would get him back, and that dog would take off running, and he would jump and fly through the air and land in a swimming pool. And man, they were having a good time. Those dogs were having a good time. They were chomping at the bit. Amen. Philip, after he went to Samaria, you read it in the book of Acts chapter 8. He went down to Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And when it was all said and done, the Lord told him, he said, go out towards the desert. I've got another job for you. And he went out to the desert, and there was an Ethiopian, a black man, in a chariot, and he was reading a book. And Philip, he said, go join yourself to that man. And he walked up, and he saw him reading a book, and he saw it was the scriptures, the Word of God. And he simply said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I understand except some men show me? He said, is he writing about himself or is he writing about somebody else? And as he said, well, just come up, get in my car, let's go for a ride. And they're riding down the road out in the desert, out in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, Philip began to preach about Christ and the name of Jesus. Can you believe that? He was apostolic. And all of a sudden, there's a change in the scene, and the Ethiopian eunuch says, why, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Right out in the middle of nowhere. Family, friends are not there. They're out in the middle of nowhere. Let's do it right now. Let's get after it right now. No time like the present. Praise God. And he went down in the water and was baptized in the name of Jesus. And when he come up out of the water, Philip was translated to another city to do something else for God. What a guy. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the power of this gospel. Praise the Lord. That's the power of this gospel. Amen. Well, praise God. You know, the thing that will bring revival to any church is when they begin to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tell people about it, because that's what it's all about. Yes, there's growing in grace. Yes, there's more knowledge in the Word of God and all of that. But you can't ever get there until you get through the door. Amen. God works miracles when we preach this gospel. When we preach the name of Jesus, the forces of hell hate it. They hate it. But we're just going to keep preaching it. We're going to stand on the Word of God. Amen. It doesn't matter what society says. Doesn't matter what other people say. Amen. We're just going to stand for God, stand for the Word of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for the gospel tonight. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the blessing of an open door that we can walk through boldly into the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. And I pray for each and every one of us tonight, God, that you would open the door of salvation, that you would open the door of the gospel to many, 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 many people in our area. Lord, let the door swing wide open and let the light of the truth shine into the darkest areas of our communities, East Wichita, Andover, Augusta, Rose Hill, Tawanda, Bentley, all of the areas, Lord, that are in darkness. God, help us to reach them by simply talking about the gospel. Lead us to hungry hearts. Lead us to hungry hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.